Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, May 21st, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm here recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Today we got an interesting email from Brent and he's observing some odd outbound DNS requests. Now the reason they're odd is that they don't go to the normal DNS server that's being configured for his network, and that's actually a pretty good thing to look for. If machines on your network don't use the default DNS server but instead connect to some random DNS server, that can be a good indicator of compromise. The machines these requests came for are some laptops, according to Brent, that just returned from a trip back into his network. So there's always a good chance that something bad happened to them. However, no other detection system that he has deployed did see anything odd with these laptops. The queries they're sending go to about a dozen different DNS servers. Now, some of the queries may be related to a timing test tool that does send DNS queries to some special DNS servers. But some of the other DNS servers, I think, look suspicious, so we'll see if Brent manages to find any malware on these systems. He hasn't done the full forensics analysis yet, and given that there was no simple antivirus alert, of course, he has to dig a little bit deeper. Now, the question here, of course, is also why would an attacker use their own DNS server versus just have the internal DNS server forward the queries? Sometimes that's to evade logging or also to get more up-to-date responses, in particular for covert channels where sometimes the caching that intermediate recursive DNS servers do can get into the way of actually transmitting the data. And Microsoft's flash competitor Silverlight really hasn't seen a ton of use, but what it is being used for lately is exploits. Cisco is reporting in a blog post that they do see a marked increase in exploit kits that take advantage of Silverlight in order to run their exploits. And it looks like usually malicious advertisements are used to lure people to the exploit kit. And then while we're talking about the browser vulnerabilities, we do have a new version of Google Chrome. Google Chrome version 35 fixes 23 security flaws, some of which can be used for remote code execution, so better get patching. And Yahoo fixed a cross-site scripting vulnerability in its comment system. The big deal here is that this comment system is used throughout different Yahoo properties, so it would have affected a number of different Yahoo sites. The vulnerability was discovered by a researcher and then disclosed to Yahoo, who quickly fixed it, so this prevented widespread exploitation of this flaw. Sadly, the site that this researcher is using to talk about the details is currently not reachable, maybe just too busy, but one problem apparently was that the cookies leaked, so probably something simple like setting up HTTP only on these cookies would have at least mitigated part of the exploit here. But overall, if you do have cross-site scripting, you pretty much automatically also have cross-site request forging, even if you do use tokens in many cases. So this would make it pretty easy for someone to trick an unsuspecting and logged-in user to post spam comments. Well, that's it today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.